Digital with Mueller. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcast, live radio broadcast, music links, podcast, video news, and various user interaction features in the game.
Those who are victorious at the sea is the first millennium where the Indonesian people from Malaysia, none of Chinese missiles. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese missiles. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau istilah BBC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Here at around the 19th century and around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or cap catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finisi sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya jadi layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar Finisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, the question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the reports of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari Solompong, there was palari Tongkong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. And ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun
di Arab. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Arab was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were reported as Palari. So the use of the word Pinisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of when Pinisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Pinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu, apa namanya ya, suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia. Karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi,
at that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan. And then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman, who was watching us as a witness who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters. He said, the same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 double-up sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Pinisi di Banyuwangi ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun bah, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Pinisi ship was built originally from Arab Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience, and it is recognized throughout the world.
Tanpa ada bilang teknik bagaimana, dan di segi pengalaman saja. Dia kuil dan sebelum dunia. kalau dengan finishnya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia, pantai Anjur Lestari.
With the finishing, it took more than a year. But this time we make it on the Losari beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half, has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood, and kick wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship permits. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of kick wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang sisa untuk pasir tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Minas, papang sil papangnya disusun, keset satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, and the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Kali sering, kali sian, nampak belakang, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making finishing sailing ships have been known to people of Ara village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts. Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is a precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunia ini itu, yaitu.
There is one thing that is absence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded about the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Finisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
Building a boat is very, very complicated thing. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 tons more than a sailboat. And they all have to function the same as sailboat. If you install one small part wrongly, the sailboat won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not fit. And there is another point here. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only finishing.
Cara dan mencocokkan kurva-kurva ini tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sebenarnya bukan menjadi ini barang kesenjian halaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya? Memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada halayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atau ini situ.
Thank you. Jakarta City is an interesting tourism attraction. It has not only a lot of cultural and artistic heritage, but also has many beautiful and natural tourism objects that can spoil visitors' eyes. One of them is a multi-level waterfall called Grojogan Watu Purbo. Grojogan Watu Purbo, located in Duku Bangunrejo, Merdekorejo Village, Temple District, Slamarajansi, Yogyakarta, is also known as Grojogan Watu Purbo Bangunrejo because it is located in Duku Bangunrejo. Grojogan Watu Purbo has an unusual grojogan or waterfall, such as a six-level terracing and flowed by a series of small waterfalls. The waterfalls from the Krasak River. Grojogan Watu Purbo has actually been existing since 1975. Initially, this place was built because of the Merapi project, which built a dam to hold back lava flow when an eruption occurred. In this area, there is actually a grojogan or a waterfall on the left and right and large old stones. It is not known for sure the age of the stones. That's why it's called Grojogan Watu Purbo, which means ancient rock waterfall. Grojogan Watu Purbo is famous for its very beautiful scenery with six levels of towering waterfalls. The best view is seen in the morning when the sun rises, coupled with the chirping of birds greeting visitors. The rocks that decorate the river are also so exotic, it's ideal to be a stepping place when playing water. This place is appropriate for all ages. Visitors can explore every corner of Grojogan Watu Purbo and every level, and also sit on a large rock while looking at the beauty of Grojogan. You can also swim here and of course don't miss taking selfies. The best time to visit Grojogan Watu Purbo is the rainy season, but you should avoid it when the rainfall is too heavy.
Kita mesti tabah menjalani. hanya kepadanya kita kembali. Tak ada yang bakal bisa menjawab, mari hanya runtuh sujud padanya.
Listener, in this edition of Music Corner, here is a Kronchong song entitled Sumpah I Love You or I Swear I Love You by Restiana De and accompanied by Mafia Kronchong. The song, created by an Indonesian noted musician Ahmad Dhani and was popularized by a girl group Mahadevi in 2008. The song tells about the sincerity of someone who expresses her love. The song also illustrates how strong the love and the longing is. Here is the Kronchong version of Sumpah I Love You by Restiana De featuring Mafia Kronchong.
dapat merasa kerinduan yang jauh selain rinduku padamu, sumpah I love you, I need you, I miss you, aku tak bisa
Nutritious Meals Program carried out by the Indonesian government has been running up to now. The implementation of the program also has its challenges. What are the challenges? Here is the answer of Professor of the Department of Community Nutrition, Faculty of Human Ecology, University of IPB Professor Dr. Hardinsyah M.S.
The challenge sensing was how the manager of each of the food service unit, the SPPD, can continuously provide variety of quality and safety nutritious food based on the local availability of the food. Without depending on the local food availability, the program later on will be biased. That's why we need also the role of the local agriculture office, local fishery office, and animal husbandry office to produce more fruit locally. Yeah. So the benefit also is not only for the children and mother, the target beneficiaries, but the benefit also will gain by the local farmers, by the local traders, by the producers of the local food. And the second one, the challenge is how to maintain the safety of the kitchen, the facility in the SPPG or in the food service unit, including water and sanitation, to maintain the safety of the food provided to the target beneficiaries. We cannot imagine if something wrong, missing in the control of the food safety states, and then we'll have a big problem. So as long as we maintain the sanitation of the food service unit and also the people working there and all the process be safety, and then the challenge will be minimized on the food safety.
Listener, for more details, check out VOI Talk, Why Free Nutritious Meals Matter, on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Come on.
speaking song by Afghan on Indonesia today. But this is not heartbreaking, but heart-captivating. This is about Wastra Wonders. Wastra is Indonesia's traditional fabric. Ever wondered what makes Indonesia's traditional fabric so unique? Each thread holds secrets of ancient techniques, stories of culture, and timeless artistry. Welcome to the vibrant world of Wastra. Indonesia's traditional fabrics are more than just textiles. They are living tapestries of art, culture, and heritage. Each pattern tells a story, weaving tales of local traditions and identities. So let's explore these timeless treasures together. The first one, we have ulos, the sacred cloth of Batak or North Sumatra. It holds deep spiritual significance. It's exchanged during ceremonies, symbolizing blessings, warmth, and unity between families or communities. Then we have tenun ikat, meaning to tie. Involves dyeing bound threads to create intricate, mesmerizing patterns, and it carries regional stories of ancestry, harmony, and spiritual beliefs. Each piece is truly one of a kind. Then we have songket, elegance woven into fabric. These luxurious textiles, often reserved for special occasion, symbolizes wealth and the extraordinary artistry of Indonesia's weaving tradition. It's a true masterpiece of cultural pride. We still have more Indonesian traditional fabrics to reveal, so make sure you keep tuning in on Indonesia Today from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
our traditional beverage from all over Indonesia is never ending. One of them is the traditional Riau beverage, which has a unique name, namely Es Laksamana Mengamuk, which roughly translated means the outraged admiral. Even though the name is a little scary and strange, the Riau specialty is very, very fresh. It is actually an ice drink made from coconut milk combined with sugar and quenny mango. Es Laksamana Mengamuk is often seen during weddings and in the fasting month. When the weather is scorching hot, drinking it will make you feel refreshed. It is said that this typical Riau beverage is not only very refreshing, but also good for digestion. The high fiber content of quenny fruit can prevent constipation and other digestive disorders. Vitamin A contained in it is also good for your eyes and endurance. Quenny fruit is also able to meet daily iron needs.
Collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcast, live radio broadcast, music plays, podcast, media news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting
of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
To inaugurate Indonesia's first gold bank in Indonesia on Wednesday. The gold bank service is a step to support downstreaming in the government's Astacita visionary programs of President Prabowo Subianto and Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka. Deputy for Protocol, Press and Media of the Presidential Secretariat, Yusuf Permana, on Wednesday said, the inauguration of the gold bank is a strategic step by President Prabowo to strengthen the national gold industry ecosystem. In addition, the gold bank service will be the first and historic service in Indonesia. Directorate General of Legislation launched the question and answer book on the formation of legislation and the e-harmonization application. This launch is expected to strengthen the national regulatory system to be more effective, transparent, and integrated. Minister of Law Supratman Andi Akta said this Q&A book is the second edition that complements previous publications. According to him, this book is designed as the main reference for policymakers in understanding the process of forming regulations that are more effective and in accordance with legal principles. E-harmonization application is to increase efficiency in the process of synchronizing regulations, and this platform is designed so that laws and regulations at various levels of government are more aligned. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.